Hey, what's up, everybody? Straight out of Marigold Studios, this is the Unpolished Podcast, and we are discovering life one record at a time. I am your host, the sometimes hateable and sometimes huggable, but always unpolished, Paul Moreno. It is good to be back with you. I'm super excited about this episode. Let me tell you why. This one is about Post Malone. We're going to be covering the new album, Austin. And I got to tell you, I love this album. This has got to be just one of my favorite albums that's come out in the last, I would say, 5 years. I mean, this is such a good album. Now, when he released Chemical, the song, one of the singles off of the album, and I first heard Chemical, I thought, okay, now this is like more of the same, and not in that bad, like, you know, oh, they're just recycling a sound or anything, but like more of the same caliber, right? Like this is going to be what's expected, and typically, not always, but typically, whatever the first single is, you know, the early singles off of an album, those are going to be the big ones. Those are the ones they're thinking as a record label or production that like, let's get this one out because this is the hook. This is the big song right here. But the more I got into this album as it was released and just going through the whole thing, I'm like, that's not, to in my opinion, this is now my humble opinion, I don't even think that's the greatest song on there. I mean, there are so many good songs. This album is absolutely stacked, and that is a rarity. But I gotta say, beyond that, I have such an admiration for this young man, Post Malone. I say he's young; he's in his late 20s, but he has accomplished so much in so little time. I get, you know, his first album dropped in 2016. You know, he really came up on the scene maybe a year before, you know, putting out, White Iverson, and just, you know, that really kind of took him on this journey. But also just seeing him and seeing his performance, I got to tell you, where I really, really just kind of like was like, this guy is beyond a genre. You know, it's very rare. You know, everyone's kind of will find their kind of niche, but this guy's like so beyond as far as just maybe his influences and even his expression. I'll say even into his artistic expression, he is so good. I mean, really. But I'll never forget, if you've listened, I am a Nirvana fan. I've been a Nirvana fan since I was in middle school, but I really like Nirvana. I like a lot of their songs, just the whole history of them and how they came up and changed not only music, but, you know, fashion, the whole thing. But during COVID, I got a call from my buddy Miggy, and Miggy's been on the podcast before, and so he calls me. He says, I don't remember if he called me or texted me, but he says, dude, you gotta turn on this. I think it was on YouTube or something. He said, you'll never believe, Post Malone is going live, and he's playing nothing but Nirvana songs. And I think Travis Barker from Blink-182, we did an episode on Blink-182 last week, but Travis Barker was on the drums, and so you had him on guitar, and I don't remember the whole setup, but like an acoustic setup, and he's doing nothing but Nirvana songs, but he did it so well. And I don't mean like mimicking or a ripoff. I mean, how do you take, and I'm going to say beyond that, the guts to do it. The audacity to say, I'm going to do this. And he did such an amazing job covering all those Nirvana songs. So, I mean, if you just, I think you could probably look it up on YouTube. Just look it up. Post Malone, you know, live acoustic Nirvana songs or something like that. And you'll find it. When he went on Howard Stern, the Howard Stern show, and opened up with a Pearl Jam song, Better Man. I mean, he absolutely murdered it. I mean, he killed it. It was so good. And I just have such an admiration for, he's such a talent. And, you know, I think he's still, you know, got the world to conquer, really. I mean, Jennifer and I, my wife and I, we were up in Fort Worth this past weekend, and we had to leave Saturday. They were having like a women's conference all day Saturday. It's called the Brave Gathering. And so my wife drove up the day before so that my wife could attend this, and I was just there in support of our good friends Richard and Barbie Armenta who put this thing together, the Brave Gathering. And so we're there, and just you know, my wife is attending. I'm just kind of like, if you need me, just, you know, just holler. I'll help you do whatever. And so as it's finished Saturday, we're getting ready to drive back. And for us, it's about a 4.5 hour drive, as long as, you know, nothing crazy is going on the highway, no accidents, construction. And of course, we got to stop at Bucky's on the way, but that's a given. So it's about 4.5 hours, because a 5 minute stop at Bucky's, if anybody knows, is a 45 minute stop at Bucky's. And it has nothing to do with they're slow or anything like that. It just, once you get to browsing, it's hard to stop. But anyway, it's about 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I said, you know what? We got to get going, because we got to beat the traffic. Want to get up early in the morning, Sunday morning for church and do all that stuff. And so I put in the GPS and it says, okay, we'll be home around 10:30. And then I thought, wait a minute. There's a new Raising Cane's that just opened up in Dallas, and it's the Post Malone Raising Cane's. I need to get there. So let me see. What would I got to do? What would I have to do to make this happen? So I put on the GPS. Okay, it's about a 40-minute drive, and it adds, okay, of course, I'm not going towards home. I'm going away from home. So the whole thing is like, you're going to be home midnight at best, and that's what happened. But it was well worth it. It was so great. Look on my Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at Unpolished Podcast, and I'll be posting them on my story of just pictures. I'll post them throughout the week. So the all week is going to be all things Post Malone. But just very interesting thing. You know, Post Malone's name his birth name is Austin Richard Post. Of course, Austin, it being his first name, is the name of the new album. But so, you know, where did he get the name Post Malone? Where did Malone come from? Do you know that it actually came from like a rap name generator, Post Malone? Now, I don't know what he entered to get his rap name, but I read that and I'd heard that before, and it just kind of reminded me, like, oh, that's right, that's where he got the name. So I decided to go to a website, myrapname.com. I answered a few questions, just a few questions, like 3 or 4 questions, whatever it was, and I got myself a rap name, guys. So I don't know if y'all are ready for this. I don't know if I'm ready to just, I mean, y'all are barely getting to know my name, Paul. And so I don't know if I want to ruin it, but we'll see. Well, let me just tell you, I will just throw out some of the suggestions, because I just kept clicking like redo it, trying to find the perfect one. But I got Smooth Heavy E Genie. How about that? Smooth Heavy. How about that for short? The Prince Jabs, Brother Graves, Genie Payne, aka MC Clip, or Rap Master Sour. I don't know. I kind of like that one. Rap Master Sour. I don't know if I can rap. That's the only problem. But how about Genie Millis, or aka Playa Tank? Playa Tank. I don't know. Capricious Jelly Moreno. I don't know. I'm having a little bout with my weight right now. I've got some love handles that I don't really need right now. So I don't know that I would really want to go with Capricious Jelly Moreno, but I'm living it right now. So maybe M Sharpie Thug. All right. M Sharpie Thug. aka Ruler Daddy. How about that one? Take that. Let's see. Lethal Pauly, Diligent Chopper, Diggy Pauly Slacker, aka Baby Cobra. I don't even, where does this aka Baby Cobra, like, I don't even, that doesn't even make any sense. But anyway, they don't have to make sense. They just got to sound good. How about this one? I'll end with this one. Audacious Pauly Juice, aka Manic Daddy. I got to say, I maybe I'm going with that one. For now on, it's sometimes hateable, sometimes huggable, and always unpolished. Manic Daddy. Maybe not. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. But I absolutely love this album. This is his fifth studio album. And he put his other album out, 12 Karat Toothache, just last year. So it's just over a little over a year since this other one. So I don't know if they just have the algorithm right and they're just churning out this music just left and right. But I mean, he looks like he just has an amazing work ethic. But I was really coming after 12 Karat Toothache. I was kind of like reminded of the structure of it, right? So there's the song Reputation, and I like when he did it live on Howard Stern better. It was kind of just stripped down, just the piano and him singing. And I actually like that version more than what was on the record. The record was, don't get me wrong, Reputation was really good. It was just, to me, it was just overproduced having heard it, you know, in comparison to, you know, the record versus what he did live on the Howard Stern. And I really liked the live version of on the Howard Stern. So when I start up the new album, Austin, and I hear the song Don't Understand right off the bat, it's very stripped down and it is so good. Let me tell you, I was so blown away by this song. I mean, before I could even play through the rest of the album, I must have played this first song, I kid you not, about a dozen times. I just absolutely fell in love with this song. It's called Don't Understand. And now I came from a time when, and if you grew up, you know, 80s, 90s, you know, you understood this, that you bought albums. Unless you bought a single, but it really wasn't until the whole, you know, Apple, iTunes and stuff like that, you know, streaming and all that came along. The whole idea of single songs, like you had singles, don't get me wrong, you had singles, but you had singles that were pulled off of an album to be played on the radio. And then if you wanted to buy the single on CD or tape or whatever it was, it came with maybe a couple of bonus songs like B-sides, maybe unreleased something. But it was all part of the album. And you wanted the album, and the album was set up a certain way, right? And so you knew that there was a side A and a side B. Or if you had a tape, it was side A, side B. CDs were a little different. It was just a continuous play. And so you had it arranged in a certain way. But it was like, I'll give you an example. The album Nevermind, Nirvana's album Nevermind, it starts off with a bang, but the last song of side A is just a slow acoustic song. So you had that. And then the last song on the side B is a slow acoustic song. So on side A of Nevermind, it would have ended with Pauly. On side B, it would have ended with Something in the Way. And so you kind of had it set up this way. And then there was other things to it, of the sound of the record, what you could fit on one side. There's other factors of it involved too, but you treated it almost just like thematic in a way. Like, okay, one song plays into the other. This song leads into this, leads into that. And you don't get that a lot today. You can't, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's still thematic albums. The problem is most albums are not listened to that way. You pick the one hit and then that's the one you play. And so I don't think a lot of albums are appreciated that way. And me just growing up that way, my mind just thinks that way. It goes to that. I'm trained in that way that I want to know how the album lines up. And what you choose for the first song matters. What you choose for this last song, it matters. The order of the song matters in the way I listen to an album. And so when I heard this one, when I heard Don't Understand, and it was so stripped down, and he chose that for the opener, I thought, wow, that was an amazing choice. Such a good choice. Musically, a great song. Just, you know, I said last week, I love a ballad. I love something slow and hearty and, you know, just something that grabs your heart. You know, the lyrics just this, they bring you in and tell a story. And that's what he does, I believe, in this song. I want to read the lyrics to this first song, Don't Understand. It says, I'm a rolling stone. It took you by surprise. You're hanging on to something, anything, just like a shimmer of light. Oh, how the sword it fell. I said, you're really something, everything to me, and I'm cold. So hold me closer, baby. I don't understand why you like me so much, because I don't like myself. I don't understand why you like me so much, wish I was someone else. You say you got a million reasons, but I can't think of one. I don't understand how you like me so much, because I don't like myself. Then that's the first verse and then the chorus. And then the second verse says, I'll build a church for you. They'll come from miles around. Girl, you're really something, everything to me, and I'm cold. So hold me closer, baby. I don't understand how you like me so much, because I don't like myself. I don't understand how you like me so much, wish I was someone else. You say you got a million reasons, but I can't think of one. I don't understand how you like me so much, because I don't like myself. And that's the end of the song. And of course, it repeats a little bit at the end, but It's lyrically so good. The emotion of the song, he captures it really well. And as you can hear, if you want to listen to it, there's no vulgarity in the song or anything. I know in some of the stuff, you know, there's explicit lyrics. That one is not one. And so, interestingly enough, it goes, that song goes right into the second song, Something Real. And it just starts off, give me something real. And one of the lyrics he uses in that second song is, give me something real, a cigarette so I can breathe. And he goes into all these different picturesque ideas of giving him something real. He wants to feel life. And I think that's very thematic of Post Malone. I think he has a very distinct talent for reaching your heart, right? And for better or for worse, whatever you want, I think he's just it's when his lyrics, he sings with emotion, he sings with heart, then the lyrics are not surfacey type lyrics. And I think he really has a conviction for what he's singing. He's convinced of what he's singing. So this is not about a formula for him, I don't believe. I believe when he sings what he sings, that he means what he sings. And like I said, for better or for worse. So if it's talking about drugs, if he's talking about sex, if he's talking about cars, if he's talking about whatever he's talking about, cigarettes, like it's spoken out of a conviction, like this is the real him. This is not just what you say. This is really how he feels about something. And that's so important. Let me tell you why. One of the things that we talk about is being real. We talk a lot about that in the context of the people that I lead, is we got to be real. That's the thing that holds it together. We don't have to be right all the time. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be perfect. But we do need to be real. Because if we're not real, there is no perfecting us, right? We cannot give God something that is not real. He's worthy of the real us. And to give him something fake is to not acknowledge who he is as God. And so when we give ourselves over, so I believe that in the music, Post Malone is really giving himself over to the music. And I find it interesting that just what he sings about, there's an emptiness, there's a void, there's something that he's trying to fill. And I don't know his spiritual background. I don't know anything like that. I don't know what he's experienced, what he knows about God, about Jesus, the Spirit of God, church, or any of those things. I don't know what he knows, if he's ever sat down and read the Bible and like truly read it. I don't know his spiritual journey. That I don't know. But what I do see in him is that what they would call that God-shaped hole that he tries to fill. And we all do this. We all are, you know, Pascal had said, you know, we have this God-shaped hole, and we are always constantly trying to fill it, right? And this is honestly why we think we're good all the time. I'll give you this example. If someone asks you, are you a good person? 99 out of 100 people are going to say, yes, I am a good person. And then you ask them, why? What makes you good? Well, you know, I'm trying my best. I'm doing what I can to, you know, maybe if it's a guy, I'm doing what I can to raise my family. I'm doing what I can. I'm going to work. I try to be a good employee. I try to be a good son. I try to be a good dad. I try to be a good husband. I try to be. And so you're saying, I'm trying to do all these things. You know, I try to help old ladies cross the street. I try to, you know, take care of stray dogs. Whatever it is that you do. Okay, you have to ask a woman maybe a different set of things, but the idea is it's all the same. If you ask someone older or younger, it's because we're really trying hard to do the right thing, right? And now then we're like, okay, but what's the right thing? And that goes into the whole worldview. And so, but what I want to just talk about is, let's say we can agree that we're trying to do what's right. We're trying to do a good thing. We're trying to fill this void, right? And because we're trying to fill a void that seems like a good thing to do, we see ourselves as good. Now, if you ask someone straight up, are you a sinner? It sounds so judgmental, like, oh my gosh, now you're judging me. Why do we think that? It's because I think we don't have a true understanding of what sin is. Now think of sin this way. Sin is an illegitimate attempt to fulfill a legitimate need or desire. Now, can you see that? Can you see sin as it's just an illegitimate way of trying to fill a legitimate need? Now think of yourself and think, do I sin? Is there ever a time where I do something illegitimate to try to fill a legitimate need, right? I have a need for peace, but am I doing something illegitimate to get peace? I have a need for joy, but am I doing something illegitimate to get that joy or to try to get that joy? And that's where we get hung up. That's where we get messed up. That even goes back all the way to Adam and Eve. You know what? They had a need. They had a need. but they went about it the wrong way. And that's where we get messed up. And you're saying, well, yeah, but I'm a good person. But at that point, you got to wonder, I mean, are we really that good? If we're going after the illegitimate for a legitimate need, when we know and we've been told the news that there is a legitimate need, a legitimate way to fill the need, and his name is Jesus. But then we say, but no, I don't like that. I don't want that. I'm rejecting that. Let me tell you why I was singing that song so many times when it first came out. It had nothing to do really with the verses. It had everything to do with the chorus. When he says, I don't understand why you like me so much because I don't like myself. And when I first heard the song, it wasn't that I was necessarily like going through something per se. I mean, I guess I was, but I guess the thing that I was going through the most was having this realization moment of like, how much I must let God down. Now, he doesn't tell me that. He doesn't put that on me. He doesn't remind, like, Paul, hey, good morning. Just want to let you know that you really screwed up all week. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to me. Now, he'll tell me things I need to change and make some corrections, stuff like that. I mean, but that's what a good father does, and he's a good father. He's gonna bring correction, but he does it in a loving way. He doesn't condemn me. He's not trying to, you know, push me down. But I just was in this moment of realization, and you'll see this in the Bible, and the most prolific place where this takes place is with Isaiah. And Isaiah, he's a prophet. He's looked at. He's like a man amongst men. But then he gets before the presence of God, and he has this realization, and he says, "Oh my God, listen to the words that I've been saying." And he realizes just how wretched his words have been. And he realizes his need for God in just like a whole nother level. And I was kind of in that mindset, in that moment of like just reflecting, like really like in a humbling, like before I start patting myself on the back, I was just, you know, not, you know, just like, man, but I'm trying, I'm doing good. And you know, just really maybe comparing myself, at least I'm not like this, at least I'm not like that. And I just had this encounter with God, and he's just like, man, like, really, do you think you've got it all together here? And it, like I said, it wasn't condemning. It was just like, you know, don't let pride set in, Paul. And I just began to reach out to God and just pray to him and everything. And then I just had this like, wow, like this, in his presence, I felt so small. Like, wow, God. And it wasn't that I felt small. It was the realization of, God, you are so big. And the lyrics for Post Malone's song, it says, I don't understand why you like me so much because I don't like myself. I don't understand why you like me so much. Wish I was someone else. Man, in that moment, I thought, oh my gosh, here I am. I thought I had it together and I don't. Man, I wish I was more like so-and-so. I think they have it together. I've seen their Instagram. It looks like they got it together. Looks like they're doing better. Looks like they pray better. Looks like they worship better. Looks like they lead better. Looks like they got a better family. Looks like they got a better house. Looks like everything's better. I just wish I was someone else. But it was more on that, like, God, I don't understand how you like me. And it's not even so much that God likes everybody. And I it's not that. He loves everybody, and he loved everybody enough that he died for everybody. And the Bible says he actually died for us when we were his enemies. Now, what does that look like? If I'm trying to be a good person, I'm just trying to fill a need, I mean, it just so happens that I'm doing it the wrong way. I mean, shouldn't you have mercy on me? But the thing is, when we reject him, we become his enemy. And it's so easy to get self-righteous and say, well, if God is really God and God is really love, why would he do that? But we got to remember, God has feelings too. We have feelings because we're made in his image and he has feelings. If you knew that you were the answer to somebody, right? You knew that you were the solution to solve the problem. And maybe it's a work problem or maybe it's a relationship problem or something. And they flat out say, or maybe without saying it, just within their actions, I'm going to try everything else as long as I don't have to go to you. Maybe it's, let's use a work example. There's a problem at work and you are the solution. And everyone decides, you know what? We don't want to mess with this person. We're going to try everything our own. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to try to just, now we want this guy's stuff. They want your stuff. They just don't want you. I mean, are you still going to be their friend? No, that's your enemy. And that's what happens with God. Like, we set ourselves up as his enemy, and yet he still loves us in the sense of he still acts out this action of love of dying and paying for our sin. And we have to choose, do we receive him or not? And you don't earn it. It's just, do I believe it enough to say yes? And that's it. It's just saying yes. Yes, I believe. And if you really believe, then it's like, okay, then now I want to follow you. I don't want to just do this my way. I want to do it your way. I want to follow you. And in being with you, Jesus, I become more like you. And that's a good thing because that is a legitimate solution to a legitimate problem. It's a legitimate filling of a legitimate need or desire, whereas sin is completely different. Have you ever heard stories of like men that had drifted out to sea? And of course, they're out in the middle of the hot sun and that to me is just a wild, wild picture of maybe floating in a raft and you're in the middle of the ocean, middle of the sea, and you're so thirsty and you are floating on top of literally billions of gallons of water and yet you're dying of thirst. Now, that is a picture of the world. You and I are adrift at sea without Jesus. Without God in our lives, we are lost at sea. And here we are sitting on top of billions of gallons of water, and yet it's tainted and it does us no good. And to drink what the world has to offer, to drink that water, it actually kills us. Now, in the natural, this is how it actually works. In the literal, this is how it works. Let's say two men are adrift at sea, and they're under the beating sun, and they get thirsty. And one of them decides, you know what? I'm going to just scoop up some water out of the sea and drink it. At least I'll quench that thirst. Well, the seawater has so much salt in it that the kidneys can't process it all. It's too much salt. It needs to be diluted. Or if not, the kidneys can't handle it. So the kidneys of your body will actually siphon out water from your body so that you can filter it out. Here's the problem. as you're drinking in that salt water, you're actually dehydrating your body. And so then you actually die of dehydration even as you're getting thirstier. So you're getting more and more thirsty, which means you have more and more desire to drink. And in the desire to drink, by drinking that illegitimate water, you are killing yourself. And that is what we do when we reject Jesus and decide, I want to fill it some other way. I want to fill it with sex. I want to fill it with drugs. I want to fill it with, you know, doing things that I shouldn't, whatever the thing is. And this is not about, you know, just an old man waving his big long finger saying, you better get moral, do as I do, straighten up, clean up. That's not what it is. It's saying, ask yourself, why do I do these things? Well, because it's fun. Yeah, you have a need for joy. But if it's coming illegitimately, that quest for joy, that seeking joy is actually killing you. That joy, that peace that you're looking for. So, man, if I could just smoke or get drunk or whatever and just have a peace in my mind that I can forget about all the things. You're drinking salt water and it's killing you. And so it's just understanding and just asking why. What need am I trying to fill? And have I actually lined myself up as an enemy of God by rejecting Him? Now, here's the great thing about God. No matter how many times you've rejected Him in the past, He is standing right before you saying, believe me now, and I will wipe all of that clean. Just believe in me now. He is not desperate to know you. He's not. He's not that desperate boyfriend that just needs you. He's not that wimpy kid that needs to get picked on the team. That is not God. God is God. He reigns supreme. He is above everything. But here He is. He's extending His hand out to you and saying, I'm giving you the opportunity of a lifetime. Believe in me and I will save you. And I will give you fresh water. I will give you something fresh in your life, something that is clean, something that gives you life. There was Jesus and He was at a well. And here's this lady that she's just an outcast of her city because she's been with so many men and had been so married and divorced and everyone's just done with her. And here is Jesus. Jesus wasn't done with her and He was having a conversation with her. And she says, basically, what do you have to offer? He says, I want to offer you some water from a living well in which if you drink it, you'll never go thirsty again. And she says, how are you going to get water? You don't even have a bucket to lower down into the well. And He says, no, you don't understand. The water that I have to offer you, oh, it's water for your soul. It's water for your spirit. This water will make you alive and you'll never thirst again in your spirit because it's a living well. He's saying, I want to come and live in you. My spirit, I want my spirit to come live in you. And as long as you just keep going back to that well and you keep going back to the Spirit of God and not trying to replace Him, you're going to be fulfilled. Your lips are going to be a touch the sweetness of God's water. And I just challenge you in that no matter what comes your way, I'm telling you, it will never, ever truly be able to take the place of Jesus. The scripture says that He is the way, the truth, the life. That means the way. There's one way. There's one way to fill that void that you've been trying to fill. And it's honestly, it's a Jesus shaped hole. Only he fits. You remember as you were a kid, you know, you'd have the little pegs and you'd have the little hole in the board, and you couldn't put the square peg in the round hole, and it didn't fit. There's so many things that you've tried to fit in your life, and they don't fit because they're not meant to fit. And you can try to cram them down and it looks like you temporarily did something, but in the end, it all it does is bring damage to you. But if you'll just really seek God and say, God, and it doesn't have to be a long drawn out prayer. It's just really speaking to him and say, God, I believe. Meet me where I'm at. I pray that for you. I pray that for your family, that you would do that. And I pray that for Post Malone. I would love to see him truly surrendered to the Lord and just see what the Lord does with him. But hey, our time is up for now, but you can follow us on Instagram at Unpolished Podcast for updates to the studio and further episodes to come. But until next time, we challenge you to discover, imagine, and go. Discover God's purpose for your life. Imagine beyond your circumstances and go be who God has called you to be.